Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, the galoshes are officially out of storage, Heather. Let puddle season commence.
Is it bad or even sad that all I want to watch and talk about is the White Lotus?
You would not be the only one. They're a bunch of monsters, that's what I say.
True. That feeling when you genuinely want to see someone but are secretly hoping that they'll be open to texting while watching a movie instead.
Totally. Been there, done that every day of my life. Have such a good day. Welcome back to Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do just that.
Yeah. We're here to unpack the absurdity of like being an adult. We hope that you guys will come along and laugh with us. How y'all doing out there?
Yeah. What's going on? It's rainy. Heather and I both live in, well, Heather's more North California than I am, but we're both NorCal, and it's rainy. You know,
I would say I'm like Pacific Northwest, maybe the southern tip of it, but it's actually, yeah. it feels like a very, like, not a summer day here, but it's spanking beautiful. The sun is actually hitting the ocean so hard right now that it's blinding me. It is a beautiful day, but it's crisp. And the other day it hailed and boy, did I need to get out my galoshes, my snow boots and my big jacket. Because it's in the 30s a lot, like first thing in the morning and the evening. Yeah, you know, I do not want to go to the garden after 5 o'clock. Don't want to go outside. unless I really have to.
I'm with you, sister, and I know that many of you live in climates that are colder than 30 degrees Fahrenheit, but 30 degrees Fahrenheit is about as much as I can take.
Me too.
Yeah, it's we've had a bit of a cold snap and quite a bit of rain around here lately, so it's just, I don't know, you kind of got to lean into it. Listen, I actually love galoshes weather because I've got you know, these high galoshes that go up to my knees. It's like I can walk through, I mean, a foot
it's
of
fun.
Mud, you know, if necessary. Not a problem.
It's good times.
But yeah, you got to lean into it, or you start to feel just like, oh, I'm just cold and wet all the time.
And it's dark. But you know, it's funny. Dark. I think, yeah, that it's like there's the novelty of like a new season, which is like you embrace like boots and jeans and turtlenecks and hats and galoshes.
Mm, sweater weather.
And then, yeah, I love sweater weather. And then after a while, you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm just done. Like you just get to a point where you know, it's been several months of that. The novelty has worn off. We are very fickle fuckers.
Yeah, we are fickle fuckers. It's true. I mean, listen, anybody who knows us on the show, and I hope we're not like the biggest complainers in your life, but Heather and I know how to complain about some weather. In the summer,
I like
too
to call
hot.
It grousing. Yeah, too hot, too cold.
You're right.
Never
yeah,
just right.
Now it's humid. No, you know,
but even
I don't have the right shoes.
But mostly we're just, you know, we
keeps you on your toes.
Keeps you on your toes, and we really, you know, we mean well. We really just want to have fun with y'all, and we like
true.
To yak it up. We like to bitch and moan, but it's more. It's not like we're trying to be jerks. We enjoy the process of just like unpacking it and just like
can you imagine if the point of the show was like to be jerks?
Yeah.
Like, and here's another reason this whole swath of humans suck. Let me tell you about that for a minute. Plenty of people are already doing that, so I don't need to.
Or like airing out your dirty laundry. Yes. Thank you very much. Stupid expression.
If you dry it, it's still dirty. Yeah. You know? Well, I guess if you air it, it's still dirty too. I don't know.
If y'all tuning in for the first time, this is episode 169. Emphasis on the 69.
Yeah.
And Have Such a Good Day is kind of it. We like to think of it as a little bit of like maybe some cheap therapy that won't set you back. Not just for you guys, but for us, Sarah and
yeah,
I.
Yeah, in fact,
get in
very
better
much
moods
for
after
us.
Recording the show,
I would
maybe more so.
You probably can get better therapy than this, but hopefully you will enjoy the next hour and change with us, because the show has many twists and turns, as life also does as well.
Yep,
and
yep.
We try to ride that wave and see what comes about. In fact, right before we started the show, Otis the dog, who it's pretty cold outside, but I'm in my studio, which is my garage, and we don't have Airbnb guests here right now, so technically I like to leave the door open for him so he can just kind of, you know, come in and out of the yard. Like, he wants to come in and check in with me, make sure, you know, the podcast is doing well.
Cool.
But then he wants to go sniff around outside. And sometimes when it's too cold, I'm like, you got to pick one, man. You know, you're either in or you're out, because I can't have the door open the whole time. But it's actually not really that cold today. It's just dreary. But yeah, I was telling Heather just how much I love my dog. And I know that dog people, I preach them to the choir. And, you know, other people are like, well, I'm more of a cat person. Or maybe I like rabbits, or, you know, whatever it is. I am also very much a cat person, always have been. But boy, I love my dog. I just love this effing dog.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. Yeah. It's just kind of one of those things that every so often it kind of creeps up on me and I'm like, gosh, I love this dog.
You get like teary eyed. You know, it's funny.
I would say
maybe historically a cat person, but I strive to be a dog person and I love dogs. You know how much I love animals, all y'all out there. That's all I talk about. But I would say that later in life, I'm more of a dog person, but I can't even get a dog. So how can I even discover how much of a dog person that I will be when I don't even have my own dog? So we're just going to have to wait on that experiment.
I always tell people, and of course this would require time and effort, and you know, that's finite. So, you know, mileage may vary for everybody, but I remember when before I adopted my the first animals that I ever had that weren't like actually being taken care of by my parents, you know, mm-hmm. my animals were two cats, Sam and Lucy. And before I adopted them, I started volunteering at the SPCA, which was in San Francisco at the time. And yeah, I mean, I did it every Saturday for 6 months, maybe a little bit longer. You know, unfortunately, time did sort of get in the way at some point. But I got a pretty good idea of like what I was looking for. And I also got a little bit of like a dose of reality of what's actually going on out there with mm-hmm. animals, dogs yep. and cats, you know? Mm-hmm. I happened to be sort of in the cat category at the time because that's what I was looking for. But it was a really good kind of, I don't know, crash course in, okay, so if you're going to do this, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And with dogs, it's just that times 1,000.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It just is. Like, your life has to kind of revolve around them. Depends on the dog. I know some people's dogs are like, they just sort of like sit there and never do anything. That's not my dog. My dog needs to, I mean, a good 3 hours of my day have to be dedicated to his like well-being outside and like having yeah. fun. I could be on the phone with you, Heather. It's not like I'm just like suffering or anything. It's totally fun for me as well, but you can't cut corners.
Well, I guess it's sort of like you could think of it as maybe a fraction of what it would be like with children. I mean, I shouldn't talk,
totally.
But that's what it seems that people say with that experience.
Yes.
But yeah, I'd love, I want the bond of a canine. I'm ready for that bond. So
yeah, well, you've got time.
I do.
And there's so many deserving pups out there, and you know you're gonna figure it out
at some point.
It's gonna be good
out,
timing, and you're gonna you know, and it'll happen, and you'll be so glad.
Yeah, and I've got a name picked out, so I'm ready.
After some tears, I do remember. In fact, I think it was Scott Johnson, who's a regular contributor to a Daily Tech News show. He's usually with us on Wednesdays, And I remember, because we've known each other for a really long time, and when I first adopted Otis, which was in 2018, was it 2017? I think it was 2018.
Maybe 20, okay.
It was 2018.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sort of just like, I don't know what I'm doing, guys. But he kept kind of checking in with me, and I remember after about a month, he was like, so, you know, real talk, what do you think? And I was like, I don't even know why I did this. You know,
I was so, right.
You were there. I was just so like,
yeah, you were freaked out.
This was way, I bit off a lot more than I could chew. And like, I can do it, but like, I don't know if I'm happy.
Yeah.
And you know, it all turned around. And I know that, you know, everyone's situation is different, but you know, in my case, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was questioning my sanity for a while.
Yeah, you were. You literally were questioning. You were going to give him up at one point, but this was
I was thinking that maybe it wasn't a great fit because I wasn't sure I was like ready for the
dog.
Task.
Yeah,
and now I'm
dog
like
and...
I can't even imagine like what would I even do all day if he wasn't around.
That's
you know,
the thing.
I would just
so
be
funny.
Like so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know. It's so strange how you go through these experiences and it just changes you. It's like, yeah, you can't even imagine your life pre-Otis. You know, what was that like? What did you do? I totally get that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's we adapt. That's what we do.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do.
Well, speaking of adapting, so I'll give everybody a little health update real quick. I mean, it's probably not going to be that quick, but...
don't be too but quick.
But I won't talk for 2 hours about cancer. But for anybody who's following along since our show last week, I did start chemotherapy. I started it last week, so I've had one session. I'm for now, I have 4 sessions on the docket. So 1 down, 3 to go. They are several weeks apart. And there's a lot of stuff that has to happen in between the sessions, which is something that I didn't really, and again, you know, I'm getting chemotherapy for a very specific kind of breast cancer at a very specific stage. People get chemotherapy for all sorts of cancers at various stages in all sorts of their bodies. So I'm certainly not speaking for everybody because the cocktail really is extremely personal. Mm-hmm. But for mine, 3 weeks apart, and as long as what they do is a few days before each infusion, they take your blood and they look at it and they make sure that your white blood cell count is in a healthy range for you to get more chemo. Because chemo destroys blood cells, mm-hmm. White blood cells. And, you know, if those dip too low, you're going to be at a risk for pneumonia or worse. Kind of, you know, you have mm-hmm. to really think about that stuff. So keeping everything on a balance is very important. And between infusions, there's a lot of stuff that I have to do on my own. There's a lot of, you know, I have to give myself needle injections in my belly. Not fun. But I've done it twice now, and wow. And you know, it's like kind of one of those things where it's a little bit of an out of body thing where you're like, I have to do this, so I'm going to, you know, and I'm just gonna like transcend like the squeamishness of all of this, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it, and it's gonna be over before it starts, and that's exactly how it's been. I'm actually, the first time I was like, I can't believe I just did that. That's crazy. And now I'm like, I can do this. I can do it.
Nice.
You know, that's, you know, you just got to like 3, 2, 1, you know, contact.
Yeah.
but there's also, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that, I have been navigating, because again, you know, again, would not want to speak for anybody else because I've heard so many stories of this, and I feel like I'm pretty lucky. This is only about 4 days ago, guys, so things could change. But I know that some people are, like, laid out, you know, like sleeping on the bathroom floor type thing. That has not been the situation with me. I don't feel great. I feel I have this sort of, like, persistent headache that won't go away, which is awful. And I think that's actually kind of some of the nausea stuff that you hear about where people go, ooh, yeah, with chemo, you know, you're like so much nausea. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know that it's really stomach nausea so much as just feeling like, ugh.
A little woozy, you know? Like a little.
It's like, it's just sort of like, it's that feeling of like, I don't feel like eating.
Like malaise, you know? Kind of.
It's just I have a headache and I feel off.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and like I'm capable of eating. And there was even a couple of days ago where I was like, I haven't really eaten in a while, but like I need to eat. You know, that's why I just drank a kombucha.
You're not even really your normal hungry self and like snacking throughout the day.
No.
Like
you're not
like feeling it.
No. It's very like it's also like there are a few things that I really enjoy. You know, just, you know, types of food that I really enjoy. And I was at my mom's for a few days after this first, chemo appointment just to, you know, just kind of make sure I was taken care of and everything. And my mom's such a good cook and she had all this like great soup and gosh, she makes good soup. And, she had made this, it was sort of like turkey rice, just like a hearty, yummy winter, you know, with carrots and celery and everything. And, you know, she heated it up for me and I was like, yeah, soup sounds good. And I had a couple bites and I was like, oh, mom, this is like really oversalted. And she was like, it is? I didn't really even put that much sodium. Like and she tasted it and she was like, yeah, I don't know. It might just be your taste buds. And sure enough, the next time I went back and had some more later and I was like, yeah, it isn't really that salty. But there was something about it that just like hit me weird.
Weird.
So that's kind of what's going on. It's a little bit more of like food just tastes strange to me.
Yeah, you're just a little off.
Just off. Yeah. Like there's certain things that are like, I don't know, taste like I had some cherry tomatoes with my eggs yesterday and I was like, ooh, acid.
Yeah,
no, thank
totally.
You. And I love tomatoes. Tomatoes do not bother me normally, you know, but it's like you kind of got to just give yourself a break with
you do.
Stuff like that.
You do. You may want to not eat your favorite foods because then you might, yeah. I don't know, have like an aversion to them.
Last night I had Swiss cheese and Triscuits.
You love
And
Triscuits.
Not even really that many, but I was like, I got to eat a little something, you know, That's before good, I lay though. Down for the night. And, yeah. you know, just kind of, it's just that feeling where you're like, I really should be eating something a little bit more like balanced and whole mm-hmm. grain, but you can't. You yeah. know, in these situations, it's like you just got to get some calories in there totally. And make sure you're hydrated and call it.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe, you may not get the full range of the nutrients that you need, but at least get some protein in there.
Yeah.
Try to get some snacky stuff that isn't repulsive. And maybe don't ruin the snacks you love so much. Cause you might find you could ruin your love for Cheez-Its or something. I would hate for that to happen to you.
Impossible, Heather.
That would be tragic.
I can't. You know what's so strange is that I've been on such a Triscuit kick. I haven't even had Cheez-Its in the house for a while. Yeah, but nothing could destroy my love for Cheez-Its. It's simply not possible. But... But yeah, just to kind of sum up what's been a very interesting chemistry class of a week. And I keep explaining that to people, you know, because they sort of go like, oh, how was chemo? And I'm like, you know, the day itself was very long. You go to an infusion center. You're not the only one there. There are other people there that are doing something similar to you, you know, so you kind of just sort of leave each other alone and do your thing. And, you know, it's a long day. And really, it's mostly just sitting around waiting for it to yeah. be over. At least in my experience, there was not a ton of pain. It was discomfort, certainly. But mostly just, it was just long. It was just yeah. a long day. Yeah. And I had been told by pretty much everybody, doctors and nurses and everything, it's like, yeah, you know, if you feel really good, just still take it easy because sometimes like day three, day four, day five, it starts to come crashing down on you a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know? So like, don't go jogging, you know, just yeah. because you think you need exercise type thing, which is exactly what I actually do normally, you know, where I'm like, I got to burn off some energy. Let's go jogging.
Can you like go for a walk? I mean, do they yeah. tell you to do a little bit of exercise?
Yeah, no, exercise is very much... supported and encouraged, but I took Otis the dog to the park yesterday. It was around sunset. You know, I had about an hour before it got dark, and I was like leisurely walking around a field. You know, mm-hmm. I was not running and jumping or doing sprints or anything like that. And I remember thinking like, I'm a little winded right now, mm-hmm. you know, which is, you know, I could tell that was it would be like recovering from bronchitis, or sure. you know, that feeling where you're like, ooh, I'm really needing some, you know, I'm I'm winded.
Well, your body's like trying to fight something, you know, like your body's working hard, you know, so
yeah.
just be
yeah.
careful how much you expend your energy. I think that's important.
Yeah, I think for many of us, and, you know, we're all different, but I'm fairly high energy as a person in general, probably just because I'm just a tiny person. So I just like flit around all day, you know, like I like to have a job, you know, give me something to do.
Yeah.
I like standing, you know, and, you know, fussing around over things yeah. in the kitchen. And, you know, it's like that.
Yeah,
that actually,
totally. I relate
if I sit too long, I feel, I mean, sure, that's nice once in a while, but it's like, I don't actually enjoy doing that for very long, or I start to feel really restless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is just one of those, you know, a few months of my life, God willing, yep. won't be any longer than that.
Yeah.
That I just can't, you know, I can't just like flit around all day. I have to just be like, sit down, Sarah, and just sit there.
And just chill. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, when you say you're this sort of little ball of energy, and that's the vibe I get even from afar from you. I mean, I know you very well and I've seen you in full swing. But I'm really impressed. Like you went through a lot this last week. That long day you had, you know, getting your meds and just going through this whole process, and you're really taking it in stride, and you're, I don't know, you are a very strong physical being. I mean, I'm pretty impressed. I mean, yeah, maybe you don't have much of an appetite, but, you know, you're peppy too. Like your attitude is up, and I'm just impressed.
It's probably the steroids.
Yeah. But even when I chatted with you that day, you were pretty peppy. Like you used some exclamation points. You seemed kind of cheery. And yeah,
you
know, you were...
And thank you for saying so, because trust me, I'm not just like, oh, this is easy. Everybody should like stop making a big deal out of it. That's very much not what I'm saying. It's a very dark era, but I've been sort of on the sidelines of some other folks who have gone through somewhat similar things pretty recently to me, you know, cancer stuff, and I have heard pretty bad stories about, you know, just physical and emotional distress. And I know that I'm not out of the woods. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not even a week into this.
Yeah.
This could, you know, we could have a very different conversation a week from today. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, okay, you know, if this is what I'm dealing with, and like, yeah, like right now I am nauseous. I'm not going to throw up, but like, I don't feel great. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like it's not debilitating to me thus far, and I feel very lucky for that. So we're just going to keep our fingers crossed and push forward.
Yes, I love this. This is, you really do have an incredible attitude, and we need to get you some of those. Do you like those ginger chews? They're like the, they're kind of like the chewy kind of, they're kind of strong, like those, because I get nauseous in the
backseat. I know the ones you're talking about. I don't have any with me right now. I have a lot of ginger tea that I've been just sucking down every
That's
5 seconds.
That's actually really good. Maybe I'll send you some of these candies, because I get like car sick pretty easily. Like sometimes even in the front seat when I'm not driving, it sucks. And then I'll just I'll have a little ginger, and it, I don't know, those little candies, maybe it might just be like sort of psychosomatic, but,
Who cares? As long as
it helps. But it just like makes me feel better. So
yeah,
I will look into that for you. Yeah, and
I will say, you know, because the show is in the interest of full disclosure. I am not a edible marijuana person. Mm-hmm. Mostly just because I can't handle it very well.
Because you're a little person.
Yeah, but like even like in fact, this is funny, not to throw you under the bus, Heather, because you're actually like so much like. Like, I feel like you're, like, less intense a person in general, even for me. But I remember, this is a long time ago, years ago. I think I was, like, you were out of town, I was feeding your cats or something.
Okay.
And you were, like, there's, like, a tiny little bit of a chocolate in the freezer. But, like, literally, like, take, like, a crumb.
Yeah.
It's you know, anything more than that, and you'd be in bad shape. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And like, there wasn't really, it was like, it was more than a crumb, but it was like just the tiniest sliver.
Yeah.
And I had gone back home. Like I wasn't like on the streets or anything, but I, you know, I was like, well, you know, what else am I doing tonight? I'll, you know, order a pizza or something. And like an hour later, I was like, I am crazy.
And how much did you take?
I mean, not very much.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was like, oh yeah. So edibles, like I just can't control things like this. But one of the things, and I obviously live in the state of California where marijuana is legal if you're of age, you know, and you know, you've got the money to buy it. So I don't feel like there's a stigma on this at all, but you know, there is, there's a whole kind of like category of especially edibles, you know, because people, you know, it's like you don't want to like smoke, you know, when you're like feeling sick. It's like, that doesn't sound good, you know, like smoke a joint or whatever. But, you know, take a little gummy or something, you know, and settle your tum. And I have tried that, and I am not sure I can handle it. I'm not sure I'm an edibles person.
Well, maybe try one gummy and not two next time.
Well, sure. I was going to bed anyway. That was a bad good. Idea.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because
they did. They tasted really good. So I was like, candy. And then I was like, well, that was a dumb idea.
Listen, I love the idea of that stuff. I rarely, rarely, if ever, eat marijuana. And I mean, I have in the past, and I've often overeaten. And what I don't like about consuming it like that is that you have to digest it. So you assume like, oh, okay, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to feel something in 20 minutes, but like often it'll take like an hour and a half sometimes, depending on how much you take and how much you've eaten and whatnot. But yeah, to digest it, and then all of a sudden, like, it hits you like a ton of bricks when you've forgotten you even took it, and you're like way down doing something else, and then all of a sudden you just get totally, totally high, and then like you're like not really prepared for it. That's what I don't like about it. It's very delayed. It's like I'm in the moment, I want it now or soon. But then I just don't want to wait for it.
It's a whole thing. I mean, yeah. I have anti-nausea medication that is not marijuana-based, which I barely even tapped into because I just feel like I'm like, you know, wait till you really need it, Sarah.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's what I would do.
But yeah, so listen, anybody out there who's a weed gummy aficionado, let me know your favorite strain. But otherwise, I'm like, you know, it's probably something that I should just shelve until I figure out like what kind of soup I like best. And, you know, we'll just go from there.
Yeah. I mean, there's always those like little tiny microdose mints that are a nice way to start, because then you can figure out, okay, one is enough. Because like for me, one, which is like a very small, I don't know what the like milligrams are, but it's a small, small amount. I mean, that actually, I get pretty high from that. So I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. that's my like limit.
Yeah, it's your threshold.
But you know, I actually miss when you brought up like going to my house and taking care of my cats. I miss those days that, yeah, I'd be out of town and we'd check in, you'd send me pictures, and like, I loved the stories of like, yeah, I just like kicked back and drink some wine and watch some TV. And like, I always loved that. Like you would get into it. Like you would enjoy, you would make it, instead of like running in, running out, you would just sort of like, I was so happy you were raiding the refrigerator and the freezer and like doing, like just kicking it with them. That was, you were a good cat sitter in that way.
And you did the same for me, you know, for anybody who's, you know, if you have indoor cats, it's like, technically, all you really need to do is feed them and make sure they have water and the litter box is, you know,
but they get bored.
Solid. But it's like, it's so much better if they just have company for a while, especially if you have sociable cats.
Totally.
And your cats are very sociable.
Yeah.
And, you know, mine have always been as well. It's like, they want like a friend.
They
want
to be in the same room as you.
Just kind of like expect to like go there, open the door, and then like hang out, eat some
lunch. Totally. Speaking of those ungrateful, entitled buttheads, it's funny, I've noticed, like, especially lately, I don't know what it is, but they just can be more aggravating, like, certain months. I don't know, maybe it's the cold, but, like I can't even use my own toilet, you know? Like, every time I want to go use it, one of them is crouched in it, drinking from it. You know, like
oh,
for
gosh,
a while.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's the new toilet in the new bathroom. And occasionally I've seen them in one of the other toilets. We have like two bathrooms and then two half bathrooms. I've seen them in one of the other ones drinking out of the toilet, but it's not like they do it all the time, but they love the new toilet. And it's kind of annoying because they both love it. And so then when I sit down,
well,
it's like all wet.
Really, it's really gross.
Well, it is. Know? And then like
it's
their
like
paws
cats,
are on
you
there.
You have water. Like you don't need the toilet water. That's
I know. Tell me about it.
Kind of the grossest place to do that.
Well, maybe I'll close the lid or something, because I'm just like every time I've gone in there, I'm like, oh, seriously, I gotta wait for you. Anyway, I'm too nice. But yeah, I wanted to mention that, you know, my obsession with the White Lotus, which we've talked about on the show. You know, it's the show that's like really hot right now. It's very water cooler, hot and cool. but there's a really great interview with the writer, creator, director, Mike White, on Fresh Air, which is an NPR podcast. And the reason why I want to bring it up is because, you know, he talks about the show and about his influences and a lot of the TV that he was influenced by when he was younger. We're a bit of the same generation. I think he's a little bit older than I am, but we did watch a lot of the same things, mm-hmm. Like Fantasy Island and The Love Boat and like Laverne and Shirley and like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun listening to it if y'all are into the show or want to hate listen. But the one thing I wanted to mention about that interview, I highly recommend it. I was so touched by, you know, he's going through this thing with his dad who's ill and not doing well. And Terry Gross brings it up toward the end and, you know, he really chokes up and it made me think about how, you know, brave you've been telling people what you're going through and choking up on the show. And I realized
make me do it again.
No, ever. I won't make you do it, but I
no,
realized,
just kidding. I'm not gonna cry today.
I don't sense it in your voice, but like, yeah, mm-hmm. we have our days, but like, I'm not at one to be as open with in a public forum, but I really, really respect people who do feel comfortable. And oh, he just, this whole thing with his dad and the way he talked about it just hit me hard today. It just like was really yeah. a beautiful like little clip of audio. So if anybody needs something to listen to, I highly recommend it.
Oh, I mean, you gotta love a good Fresh Air episode. I listen to almost every Fresh Air episode.
Good for you.
Every so often I'm like, I don't have time. Or maybe the person is like, I don't think we have quite enough, you know, for me to kind of spend the hour. But I love Terry.
But you're
so
a fan. I know you're a big fan. But you know what's really funny?
Terry Gross is like my absolute crush.
So some of the interviews, though, I am like, and this is like has nothing to do with, because I completely respect like an opera singer or a trumpet player or whatever. But sometimes when it's, you know, something about like the music.
Somebody in band?
Yeah, I don't know. Just like something that is like kind of a niche music-y thing, which, and I love music, I love art, I'm into it, but I kind of lose interest. Like, I don't want to listen to that. Like, it's some,
well, what I think I know what you mean, what and part of it is because just when I go on a walk, I'm like, I need give me something for an hour, you know?
Yeah.
So like a new Fresh Air episode, I'm like, I don't even care.
Learn
who
something
it is.
New.
Yeah, you're gonna learn something new. And because you're not gonna talk about like trumpet keys for an hour, you're gonna talk about like how the person, you know, like where they grew up, and
yeah,
you know, there's always like more to the story, mm-hmm. and yeah, I love stuff like that. But and no spoilers, of course, because I know not everybody is either watching The White Lotus or caught up, but you are, right, Heather?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you're
oh,
caught
yeah
up.
I'm like, is yeah. it Sunday yet?
Yeah, which is it's funny because so I'm on a group thread with some other people who are also watching it,
uh-huh.
and they just want to, you know, they're very into like,
they want to
theorize. Did you read this Variety
yeah.
article about like, you know, the newest conspiracy theory? And I'm like, I don't even really have conspiracy theories. I just want to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
And I also find the show extremely uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
But not to the point where I find it not fun to watch. I just find it's a very uncomfortable show for me to watch. And it's maybe that says something about me.
I don't know.
I'm just like, the last episode, which was the penultimate, I believe. I think there's just the one left, you know. So a lot of things are still yet to happen. But I was like I finished the episode and I was like, I need to take a shower. That's disgusting.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's about sex and about the darker side of it. So that makes sense. But it's funny because you watch a lot of these like reality shows, which I would say those are what makes me feel like I need to take a shower. I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's just like, it's like real people's lives and like the yucky reality of
and
it.
Right. And we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Yes.
But it's like, that is truly, okay, so... Okay, and again, I will not spoil anything. So Sunday night, new White Lotus episode comes out. I watch it, you know, and I was like, well, that was fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. So the next day, you know, so I'm getting these conspiracy theories from some of my friends. You know, I was like, I didn't even notice that. You know,
totally.
Did you notice that scene and like what it probably means? I'm like, I don't even remember that part. I should probably watch like the last 10 minutes again.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it kind of it got pretty weird at the end, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I watch it and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, this is really getting weird. And then I'm like, okay, palate cleanse. Let's watch some Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh God,
you know, because that's just like what
that
makes
so
me like
funny
happy
that that's
and
your
joyful
palate
again.
Cleanse. Like, and yeah. You feel it's like that comfortable feeling when you watch TV and you just feel so at home.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like it's comfort food. It's candy, whatever
comfort
it is.
Food, exactly.
Yeah, and I've spent so much time at my mom's as of late, you know, like surgeries and just like recovery and stuff like that. And she and I watch things together, but like I'll also just kind of like go into the guest room and be like, I'm just gonna like do my own thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, which is fine, you know. And her like main gripe is she's like, all of the bleeping, you know, because it's like all the shows are just like, beep,
yeah.
You're such a beep. I can't believe you. Beep, beep, beep. You know, she's like, how can you stand it? How can you watch this? How can you listen to this? And I'm like, it's a lullaby to me.
You know, it's really
like,
funny.
It just doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wonder if it has anything to do with, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is. But I do remember doing a show once because we, you know, Sarah and I, we come from like live television.
Yeah.
And I remember we had a bleep button like in the control room. And I remember I had to have my finger on it like throughout the show. I'm trying to remember what show it was because I didn't always have to do that. But boy, was that intimidating. Even though you could, if it's a really bad like word, you'd probably have to bleep it in post. But live TV, man.
Yep.
Whew.
Yep. You know, and continues to this day. Gotta love it. You know?
So yeah, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. So yeah, I'm totally full swing back into my other job lately and always need something existential to think about, I feel like. But yeah, just you know, feeling that all those adult things again, like working on my will and you know, refinancing.
Yeah. You know, working on the will, the huge.
You know, the huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I had like
Where's
an
it all
long...
going to go when I'm gone? Just, I... you know, just standard stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, welcome to your 40s. But I had a long chat with a banker today because we're working on maybe refinancing and just a lot of stuff to do with these properties. And, you know, it's complicated. And we're heading into tax season for me. I mean, we're already... like in prep mode-ish, had like a long chat with my CPA yesterday talking about 2023. And I'm like, WTAF, I don't miss this at all. What is happening? I can't believe I have to like get back into this. But I will say that I talk about leaning in. It's like, I'm not complaining about it, or maybe I am a little bit, but I really value the education. And mm-hmm. being on the phone with some of these experts in their field, like this banker today. I mean, some of the stuff she was talking about, like was trying to go over my head. Like it didn't go totally over my head, but like, you know, she's talking numbers, she's talking, you know, words and terms that are just very banker, very like real estate terms, you know? And it made me realize how much I've learned, you know? And even though she is cut from a different cloth than I am, and she knows a lot more about this than I do. Mm-hmm, I was mm-hmm. like, I felt like this sort of, huh, you know, I have a ways to go, but I kind of am following her. So it was always like, she would go on the spiel, like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, God, I think I understand what you're saying. And then at the end you go, well, are you saying that, you know, I'd kind of break it down in layman's terms. And she'd be like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's like, oh, I get it. I'm following. And so that's been sort of fun. But then I've realized that, just be like happy with that. Do I have to always feel like I have to do more? I always do. I always feel like I have to do more. I have, you know, often people will say, God, you do a lot. Like you're always doing a lot. I'm like, I do? Like, really? I don't know. I mean, how do I gauge that? Like from other people?
I feel like you're doing a lot, But
I guess.
But yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, exactly. Like, what are you putting it up against? Someone who just doesn't try very hard?
Well, I think that's the thing. It's like, what, how do you level set from one person to the next? And it's like, I do hear that a lot throughout my life and just kind of in general. And then I'm like, but like, here's me in my head going, oh my God, I got to go there. I got to start this business. I got to fix this thing. I got to write that book. I got to raise children. I got to, well, you know, we're not doing that, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, I got to do all these things, like, you know, to really maximize my life. It's the maximizing thing, I'm telling you. But my question for y'all out there is, how do you know when you're doing enough? I mean, do you have a similar feeling where you're just, because I know that for me, the reason why this plagues me is I can be my own worst enemy. I mean, this is something I do to myself. No one's doing this to me and saying, oh, you're not doing enough. You know, so it's right, really right, on right, me. Right. Yeah. But I'd be curious to hear from you all. Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com. Write us early and often. But Sarah, I wanted to please quickly switch gears, unless you have any thoughts on that.
Thoughts on you working hard. You work hard. That much I know. That's not lip service. I know it for a fact. But yes, let's continue.
Yeah. So I stumbled upon an article the other day. It's not news. It's just all the like main you know, publishing houses are jumping on it because that's what they do. But it was an article in the Atlantic about how Instagram is dead, basically. And again, this is not news. This has been sort of, it's been dying on the vine. You know, maybe for our generation, it feels like it's dead. For others, I'm sure that a lot of people are still getting a lot out of it. But it has been kind of a thing we've talked about on the show here and there. Sarah and I you know, remember the day that Instagram came out and how the early days of it, you know, we look at with fondness. It was always
So artsy.
Like
a simple way to like share your life.
Yeah, and like photography heavy, like craft focused, and yeah, artsy shit. And like, you know, I'm sure like the you know, fun snaps with outings with your friends. I mean, there's still a lot of things that happened back then. It's not that. It's not like completely transformed. But it gets on my nerves more and more. And a lot of it is, you know, it has changed a lot. It is a different platform. It is not the way it used to be. There's way too many ads. There weren't ads back in the day. You know, you can't really, it's harder to find your friends' feeds. I have to consciously almost like, I search for people, you know, when I think of it, to see, find like, out what's going on, if I miss something, because I don't want them to be upset.
It's so frustrating because I do the same thing. And sometimes I'm like, they've posted like 3 times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even in my feed.
I know.
Until
it's
I
insane.
Like looked them up. And I, you know, I would prefer. Yeah.
I know. And then I have all these people that are up in my, you know, my highlighted stories, which I'm like, God, I don't keep in touch with them at all. And then also like when you open it and then all of a sudden it's the same thing when you open up like a platform, like on your TV, like a Netflix is like a kind of the worst of all of them, I think, is the auto play. And then you know, your volume's on really high and like these instant reels, like the stories are, you know, just like so obnoxious. There's so many of them too. And I still haven't bought Bombas socks. And I probably should report that ad because, like, it's like.
Listen, Heather, I'm just going to tell you this right now that they are the best.
No! But are they?
You have no idea how many pairs of Bombas socks I have. However,
you've been holding. However,
I mean, I don't know where you've been. They're great socks, but yeah, like for like the last like 3 years in a row, like for Christmas, my mom gets me like 10 pairs of Bombas socks, like to the point where I was like, Mom, no more socks.
Yeah.
I don't have room for them, but they're wonderful socks.
Okay, that's good to know.
But I know what you mean. There are, you know, there are certain things that are served to me, whether I want them or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because of a previous purchase. Maybe it's just because they think they know me, you know, kind of stuff that does take you out of the experience. But I also feel like, gosh, you know, Instagram was so fun back in the day. And, you know, I'm just going to sound like an old, being like,
an old hag.
Remember in 2010 when it was just like a fun place for us to like put filters on photos and make them look better?
So us now.
But, you know, I don't, I would say it would be a rare day that I don't check in on Instagram at least once.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I have two accounts because it's me and then, you know, we've got Otis the dogs. He has his own account, which quite frankly is where I hang out way more often. But like sometimes a day goes by and it's like, what did I miss? I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but it isn't the same as it used to be. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, all the stories, reels, whatever they're called. I never even look at that stuff.
I don't either.
I maybe look at somebody's, you know, once a month.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'm just like, it's too in your face.
It is.
And then they see that you saw it and it's just like.
Yeah, and then it takes up the whole screen too. Well, yeah, like I think there's that in your face vibe of it that it didn't used to have.
Yeah, and for the most part, by the time I'm watching whatever was like this very cool like series of four videos that happened 12 hours ago, like is long over.
Yeah,
and so I kind of look at it and I'm like, I don't need to see this.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's too intimate, and I've never really, I don't know.
And there's like an obnoxiousness.
I think I'm a little. There are a lot of people in that sense who are like. You know, they'll say, oh, did you see so-and-so posted whatever? And I'm like, I look at their account and I'm like, where? And they're like, no, it was on their stories. And I'm like, I don't even look at stories.
Yeah, totally. And the thing is, there's an obnoxiousness to it. And I don't want to be a jerk about it because a lot of people do make their living on Instagram. So
of course.
Totally get it. But at the same time, it's like, it's just become such a promotion heavy place. And I feel like I'm already being pummeled as it is, like all the time, like on email, on Instagram, on even these streaming services, you can't even avoid it. Even if you pay for the non-ad, you know, they're always just trying to push content down your throat, you know? I wanted to just say that I do miss the old Instagram, but I'm also happy to just step off for a while and just quote unquote, live my life. But sometimes I do feel, that, you know, like, oh, this is such a great moment and I want to share it. You know, I want other people to see it too.
And that's cool too.
Exactly. But then I won't post it and then it'll just go into oblivion, into the depths of my iPhone. But I'll sometimes take the energy and send it to a specific friend or two, or maybe a group thread. And I think that's where it's coming. It's like coming back around. It's like now group threads are really big, and like newsletters, and like, you know, people are kind of going back to like the way things were. It's really funny how that happens. But I'd like to hear all y'all's thoughts on the old Instagram. Do you still use it and like it?
Yeah.
Are you a mere virtual fly on the wall? Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Indeed. Yeah. Instagram is, you know, of course, you know, you got the TikToks and, you know, even Facebook itself, you know, is sort of a version of Instagram depending on how you use it. And yeah, a lot of that stuff is, I find, you know, I talk about this with people who are roughly my age, you know, who are kind of like, we've been through web one, web two, and now web three, you know, like we're tired.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like there's a lot of just sort of like gimmicky stuff that I'm like, it just isn't speaking to me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just because I'm not a little kid.
Yeah, and also, you know, everything has to change. Everything has to evolve. Instagram has to evolve, you know?
Sure.
It's like, we can't fight it. It has
and it will continue to.
Yeah.
And there's certain kind of, yeah, like, I mean, just the word influencer, like, that will make me vomit more than chemotherapy. Like, just like, oh, I'm an influencer. It's like, who are you influencing? Like, why would that even be a good thing?
Yeah.
That's like a terrible term to me.
Totally.
I don't know. I could go down that road for a long time. like what do you're trying to like change people's thoughts like by influence. I hate that.
I know. I do too. And there's like these thin veils too. Cause you see, it's like you only see this portion of what they're like trying to do, but then you see all these like contradictions in there and you're like, I don't know if this makes any sense, and it's kind of head scratchy, I guess maybe we're also kludgy now. You know, Instagram's kludgy, we're kludgy. We just got to lean into being kludgy.
Let's be honest, Heather. We are kludgy.
Lean in,
Sarah.
We have
been for a bit now. It's just gonna get weirder. but yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm not off the nets.
No. No. That would be the day. You often stick with it, not eating.
Stick with it for a while. Jesus. Yeah, can you imagine where I'm like, oh, I'm off the grid.
I think that the Earth would like freeze over if any of those two things happened to you, Sarah.
Probably. Yeah. It would. That would be a tough one. Even for 30 days.
Yeah.
Don't even know if I could do it. Probably something to try just because I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
But just to remind everybody, we are an independent little production here. Heather and I just do this show ourselves, and we are so eternally grateful for everybody who comes along for the ride with us every week. And, you know, we've had a couple weeks off. As of late, obviously, we've let our audience know some of the reasons for doing that. But, you know, we're trying to get back on track, because what else are you going to do besides hang out with your buds? And this is a really great outlet for us, so we thank all of you for being a part of it. If you are not a patron and you're interested in directly supporting the show, patreon.com/havesuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagooddaysuchagoodd We do obviously support everybody who wants to listen to the show, which may be ad supported, which means you don't pay anything, and that's great. If that's the way you want to rock it, just tell a friend about the show, and that is cool. But many of you prefer a little bit more of a personal experience, so Patreon is the way that we hope that you can achieve that.
I like that, Sarah. That was a nice little riff. We did get a few comments and emails and whatnot. Louie, one of our recent patron-ish, he commented...
Hi, Louie.
He commented on a post, this is actually a couple episodes back, about Sarah's raw honesty from the bottom of his heart. He wishes you the speediest and easiest recovery.
Thank you, Louie.
Yeah. And, you know, basically, he basically says, whatever your look and your outlook on life will be, I am sure that you will pull it off and own it. In any case, I'm quite certain, I vouch for all of us here, that our appreciation for you only grows. Also, thanks, Heather, for getting my name right. Silent S. It is minor, but I was genuinely thrilled.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not going to, you know, for all the Lewises out there who are like, well, I like it. I like the S. I'm a Louis fan.
Oh,
myself.
I like Louis. Yeah.
I like Louis a lot. And thank you for the kind words. Really, really, really appreciate that. Ron also wrote in. because, you know, I love my weird food, and I think I'm pretty good at it. Ron said, weird food worth trying after hearing Sarah and her kimchi on mashed potatoes. Basmati rice with fresh edamame, nuked, shelled, and buttered. Then add kimchi on top. Maybe a few drops of Maggi or your favorite soy sauce.
What is Maggi?
No, I don't know what
I don't know what Maggi is.
Is it like Worcestershire?
Here,
what is Maggi?
Let me Google it. Maggi. It's funny. I was going to wait to see.
Because favorite
soy
sauce is like, okay, so we're in like the soy sauce category.
It's got to
like,
be. Huh.
Maybe it also could be an autocorrect.
Oh, Maggi. I think it's Maggi. It's more complex than soy sauce. Oh, wow.
Oh.
It amps up
interesting.
Soups.
Like a umami type of a thing?
That's so interesting. It's still fermented wheat. It's like amino acid is derived from MSG.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's an umami salty thing. Marmite.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It's like marmite. Marmite? Marmite.
Marmite.
Marmite, sorry.
Ooh, well, marmite is very salty.
Very salty,
it's
yes.
too salty for me.
Yeah, totally.
Well, you know what, Ron? So we got rice, we got edamame, we got kimchi, and maybe a little seasoning. I'm in. We shall dine someday in the future.
And we also got another note from a different Ron that is Sarah Lane with an X, warrior princess. Hey, ladies. Oh,
that was the subject line. Thank
yeah.
you. Maybe I should start
X-ara.
Like spelling my name X-A-R-A-H.
X-ara. I like it. X-ara. Yes. He's just sending a little note for support for Sarah. And they said he also adores me too, which is very sweet. I was the first phone call my sister made when she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018. She had surgery and chemo. She did lose her hair, but she's doing great. keeps getting good reports at her checkups and sports a fuller head of hair than I've ever seen before in my life. I bought her a superhero costume the last Christmas she had treatment because she is one, as is Sarah, I have no doubt.
Well, you know what, Ron, who also sent us a photo, and it was like super adorable. You might have sent it on Twitter. I'm not sure if you sent it in the email or not.
Oh, he did. I saw the email. I mean, I saw the photo in the email. Yep.
Yeah. That's so great. And you know, I know I've talked. I didn't talk about it today at all because I'm just sort of waiting for the shoe to drop and all my hair to fall out. But I am gonna try pretty hard to keep as much of it as possible, which I'm actively doing. And that said. It either is going to work to my satisfaction or it's not. And I have relinquished pretty much all feeling about it one way or another because things are just going to happen the way that they happen.
Yeah.
But I have heard from quite a few folks that, and again, you know, it's not like a totally predetermined thing, but, you know, many women and men. End up getting like better hair afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, it's like thicker and like with some curl. Like my hair has never had a curl in its life. I have the stickest straight hair you've ever seen. I mean, even if I curl it with a curling iron, like it's straight in an hour. I don't care how much hairspray.
Yeah, I'm the same. I have very straight
hair. So I'm kind of like, you know, if it kind of got weird, that would be maybe sort of fun.
Like a fun little, you know, just like,
yeah, just throw a little curveball in there and then just be like, whoa, Sarah has like weird curly hair now.
I love it. That could be fun.
You could, silver linings.
Silver linings, man. And we also want to shout out to a new patron, SF. I'm like, okay, is that.
Hey, SF.
Is that like SF San Francisco or I think maybe their initials? But I like it.
It could be
I
so
like
many things.
Being incognito myself. So welcome to the fold, SF.
Yeah, we really appreciate new patrons. So, you know, again, thanks to everybody who supports us. And, you know, as we I was about to say limp along, but it's like I don't feel like we're limping along. I feel like we're doing good.
Yeah.
And we hope you're all doing good.
And if you're
not doing good, that's okay too. You know, talk to us about it because we're all on this silly little planet together. and we'll do it all again next week because next week will be episode 170. Heather, can you believe
it? Oh, finally. I feel like we've been just like slowly trudging through the 60s. I'm glad to get to like a round, you know, like a new number, a new decade.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but after 170 comes 171, and that's when the universe just chills out again.
I can't wait for that.
Because it's palindrome, and
palindrome city.
Things just settle. Yes. Yes.
Well, I really look forward to that day, Sarah, but in the meantime, before that day comes, I will try my hardest, my damnedest, to be little me.
Well, Heather, I think you're going to be just excellent at that. And I will try to be little of me as well. And we'll see y'all next week. Or at least we'll hear you. Or you'll hear us.
Stay beautiful. Know. That's an order.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
Have such a good day.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan,
turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.